The Korean War ended 60 years ago. It caused many hardships, including the separation of family members between the North and the South. To this day, there's been no official contact between citizens of the two countries. No phone calls, no letters. But finally, back in 2000, North and South Korea agreed to begin holding family reunions. The last one took place in 2010. Another reunion was scheduled to take place today at a North Korean resort, but it was abruptly postponed over the weekend by the North Korean government. Charles Armstrong is a professor of history at Columbia University. When we spoke this morning, I asked him why North Korea postponed that event.
Well, we know what the North Koreans have said, which is that the conditions are not right, that it has blamed South Korea for throwing obstacles in the way of reconciliation, and that they cannot go forward until there is a normal mood. One of the reasons has been the persecution, as the North Koreans see, of a South Korean National Assembly member and his party for being pro-North Korean or attempting to incite rebellion against the South Korean state, which happened recently. But I think that this might be a way of North Korea simply to try to push North Korea forward to give more of what it wants, bring in more investment, to reduce the kind of military presence facing North Korea and so forth. So it's always difficult to say what the real reasons are behind North Korea's decisions along these lines, but it's certainly very disappointing, especially to the South Korean family members who are hoping to see their relatives.
Yeah, how many family members will be affected by this cancellation?
Well, it's not clear how many would have actually been able to meet, but there is a very large number of separated families in the two Koreas. By some estimates, up to a million people are separated from their relatives across the border because of Korea's division. About 129,000 people are registered in South Korea as being part of this group and wanting to meet relatives in the north. But, of course, Korea has been divided for 60 years, and these people are getting older. Many have already died.
North Korea reportedly postponed this family reunion. Is there anything in the language that suggests whether they might postpone it to another date in the future? Is this off for years, for months, for weeks? Do we have any idea?
I don't think it would be off for years. My sense from the language of the North Korean official media is that they are waiting for the situation to change. They talk about a postponement. They did not say it was canceled. They talk about a postponement until a, quote, normal mood, unquote, is created. And it might be that, as I suggested, they're waiting for more concessions from the South, a higher amount of investment or aid being offered, something along those lines. So I think it is a tactical move on the part of North Koreans, as they often do, to extract more from the South than they've been offered before. But I don't think it's postponed indefinitely. I think it will happen.
Well, North Korea has multifaceted tactics. How about this tactic? Does this tactic of canceling family reunions work to achieve their goals? Has it in the past?
It has been one unfortunate tactic that the North Koreans have used, and I say it's unfortunate because there are very strong emotions and human feelings involved, and the possibility that people who were scheduled to meet will not survive until a meeting is rescheduled. But I think that it is something that people in South Korea very much want. And the North Koreans are aware that they can use this as a tool to get more of what they want.
You know, when I was in Seoul, South Korea, some years ago, I was told you could always pick out the North Korean refugees because they were smaller. Better nutrition had made the South Koreans just taller people. Have you talked to many family members about what it's like to reconnect after perhaps decades of never having seen one another? Do they have much in common?
It is very emotional, and people have very mixed feelings. I've talked to a number of people who have visited their relatives or been visited by their relatives from the north, and clearly they grew up or they have lived for decades in very different societies. They still feel a connection to their family members on the other side, but they really don't have much in common. And the people from the north are very careful about what they say because they are from a system in which they're very carefully monitored. And if you say anything even remotely critical of the government, then you'll be in very serious trouble. So conversations can be awkward because they can't ask too many questions about life in the North, and their northern relatives can't say anything even vaguely critical about their life there.
Charles Armstrong, a professor of history at Columbia University. This is The Record.